tell other people about it. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave certain gifts unto men. They're called the fivefold ministry gifts: apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. He gave these gifts to men that we may no longer be children, but we grow up. So a ministry gift is a gift that God gives to certain individuals. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and was seated down at the right hand of the Father, in one sense, he universalized himself. So he's a many-membered body, the body of Christ in the earth. So we all don't have the same gifts. And in the kingdom of God, God puts a greater measure on the least in the kingdom. So in the kingdom, you got to go down in order to get up. So if God calls us to wash the floors in the restroom, we have an honored position. So everything in the kingdom is reversed. The greatest is the least. And so I want to tell you how the ministry works, how a gift from God works. A gift from God is an anointing. It's a special ability that he gives to a person to speak for him. See, God wants to use people. So right now, Father, I just surrender my life to you, Father. I surrender my voice to you, Father. I surrender my mind to you. I surrender my emotions to you. I surrender my imagination to you. I surrender every area of my life. I empty myself and I ask you to fill me, Lord. Speak through me. Speak words that are spirit and life. I ask that your words would touch every heart in this building. Now, God gives a certain gift and a certain anointing to certain individuals' ability, but every person in the house is to participate in it. See, when you got to draw on the anointing. I'm an anointed vessel of God. I am an oracle of God. He speaks through me. He ministers through me. So if you pull on that anointing, if you draw it, God's going to speak a word directly to you. The first thing the Lord would say to every one of you is that I love you. I love you personally. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And when that word becomes real, when it becomes a living word, when God touches your heart, it's going to bring tears to your eyes because he loves you. He embraces you. He wants you. See, our life started in eternity. Before this world existed, time and space, everything, before any of this natural creation existed, we were in the heart of God. God saw us in his imagination. He has more thoughts about you than the sand of the sea. And he saw you. He envisioned you. He wanted children. And he spoke you into existence. Now, so our spirit comes out of eternity. And it comes into our mother's womb like a flash of light. They can see it now with science and stuff. And when our spirit, that's who we are. We are a spirit being. Our spirit came out of heaven. It came out of eternity. When our spirit comes into our mother's womb, in that single cell, our soul is created. So we're a spirit being. We didn't originate here on the earth. We originated in the heart of God. And when our spirit entered the body, the soul was created. Now, our soul is our natural life. It's our humanness. It's the part that gives us self-consciousness. So soul and self are the same. When God made Adam, he had no self-consciousness apart from God. He was aware of God all the time. And the only consciousness he had was a consciousness in union with God, with God's thoughts towards him. But when Adam partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he had a self-consciousness apart from God. All of a sudden, he felt separated from God. He felt alienated from God. He heard the sound of the voice of the Father walking in the garden. And he says, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And Adam was hiding. He felt ashamed. He put fig leaves on. He tried to hide from God. So when our spirit comes into our body, it comes into like a dark place because our soul, it's our spirit, our soul, and then our body. We're a three-part being. So we have three parts. We have a spirit, a soul, and a physical body. Right now, my physical body is sick, but that's not who I am. I'm a spirit, and my spirit is in union with God. So now when our spirit comes into our body, eventually, when I was a little child, it's like I was aware of God. My mother died when I was 7 years old, and they took me next door. She died in a rocking chair. She had a heart attack. And they told me, well, your mom's going to be okay. It's like, no, she's in heaven. I already knew she went to heaven. I was just safe and protected. God protected me. But my spirit began to fall asleep. And so my soul, my humanness, our spirit has senses. Our spirit is God conscious and the kingdom of heaven, the spirit realm conscious. So our spirit is conscious of God and the unseen, invisible realm. Our body has five senses, which is conscious of this natural realm, and our soul stands in between. So our soul is like a switchboard. It either sees what's happening in the natural realm and interprets it, or our spirit can see what's happening, our soul can see what's happening in our spirit and begin to interpret it. So when God speaks to us, our soul has to interpret what he's saying. But so what happens is, in the natural, our soul, all of us start out on this path called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Basically, there were two trees in the garden, and they're symbolic. The tree of life is symbolic upon Jesus Christ. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents a pathway, the pathway of self. We have certain needs in our soul that we try to fill and meet, and by doing so, we end up getting hurt, damaged, and because we're trying to get our needs met. But only God can fill that hole in us. Only God can meet our needs. So our soul develops by nature, which means what we inherit from our parents, our natural genes, and we all inherit Adam. Some people call it a sin nature. We inherit what the first man inherit, Adam. He's the father of us all. So our spirit begins to develop by nature, nurture, and trauma. Nurture is our upbringing, our parents, what kind of an environment we were in, our teachers, our brothers, those we looked up to, our peers. And also by trauma. We live in a world where God's will doesn't automatically happen in this world. So we live in a fallen world, so we experience trauma of different sorts, and they can really have an impact upon our life and shape us. So what happens? First of all, it says that God predestined us in Jesus Christ. There's only two men that ever lived. The first Adam and the last Adam. The old man and the new man. The human race that was born through Adam, Jesus was the last of that race. And he died upon the cross. He took the whole world's sin upon himself. And when Jesus died, the human race died with him. When Jesus was raised from the dead, potentially the whole world was raised up. See, God was in Christ, recounseling the world unto himself, not holding their trespasses against him. So God reconciled every human being unto himself. The enmity is not in God's heart, it's just inside of us. It's in our minds. Because of our lives, the things we experience, we feel guilt, shame, but there is no enmity in the heart of God. So God put us in Christ. And that's how he sees us. He sees us perfect in Jesus Christ, because there's only two men. All die in Adam, all are made alive in Christ. So this is the legal aspects of redemption. It says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. So it's like a bank account. It's like you are a billionaire. I mean, everything, it says that in our heart, it hasn't entered the heart of man what God has prepared for us. So, but his spirit reveals it to us. So there is the legal and vital aspects are of redemption. So we have a bank account in heaven. We have everything that we need to fulfill our destiny and calling in life. And it's so like we got a credit card, and his name is Jesus Christ. We have to activate the Spirit. See, Jesus is the doorway into the unseen realm of God's kingdom. When Jesus died on the cross, the temple was torn from top to bottom. The veil was separated between the two worlds, God's world and our world. And so we have access right now into the heavenly realm. So what we have to do, it says Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And when it talks, he's knocking on the door loudly. But we have to hear his voice. We have to hear him calling us. We have to hear him saying, I love you. Trust me. Give me your life. I got a destiny for you. And when we surrender, when we offer our lives to God, we surrender to him, something happens. He commands light to shine in our spirit. And when this happens, there's a book in heaven that our name is written in. So this is a climatic event that happens. Just like we were born in the natural, when we're born again, it's a sudden climatic event. Our name is written in heaven, and all of a sudden we become aware of God inside us. Now, when you become aware of God, you become aware of his love for you. Our human emotions are different from God's emotions. God's thoughts are higher than man's. His feelings are higher than man's. So we become aware of his unconditional love. We feel accepted by God. And like I said, when you feel his love, it'll bring tears to your eyes. So you experience another love that you never experienced before. You experience a joy that you never experienced before. See, let me tell you about the nature of God. God is the happiest person that exists. I mean, in his presence is full of joy. That's who he is. He is joy. Only he can give us that joy. Only he can fulfill that deepest need in our heart. That's who he is. He is joy. God is love. That's who he is. He loves you the same on your best day as your worst day because he is love. That's all he can do is love. That's who he is. So he loves you. And he is peace. So if you've never experienced the presence of God and you want to know Jesus Christ, right now I ask you to raise your hand. Right now, raise your hand if you want to know Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I just ask that you would just open these people's eyes, reveal your love unto them, Lord. Reveal yourself unto them. Command light to shine in their heart. I ask, Father, that each person that responded with their whole heart, Father, that you would let them know that you have written their name in heaven. And this day, this moment, their destiny begins in Jesus' name. Thank you. Now, when we come into this world, we come into this world with a destiny scroll. See, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Everything that was written in the book, in the Bible, about him was fulfilled. He had a destiny prepared for him. He just had to walk in it. And one person came up and says, good teacher. He says, why do you call me good? There's none good except God. He says, what I see the Father do, that's what I do. What I hear him speak, I speak. So it said when Jesus was on the earth, let me just, let's go to our first scripture. John 3. You keep praying for me now, because when I go to the Bible, sometimes I lose my train of thought. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, this isn't in what we have written down. But anyway, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He says, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now he's talking about being born from above, being born again. He says, no one has ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So Jesus is saying right here that he was in heaven, yet he was on earth. but he was in heaven. See, Jesus lived in dual realms. There was no veil between heaven and earth for Jesus. What he saw the Father do in heaven, he did upon the earth. See, we become a doorway, a gateway for heaven to invade into earth. When we surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ and we start developing our spiritual senses where we can begin to hear his voice, how God speaks to us. See, our soul is our mind. We are not our mind. Our soul is our emotions. We are not our emotions. See, our spirit has a consciousness. Everybody's spirit is alive, but it's not all alive unto God until God quickens it. But the part of you that's aware of your thinking is your spirit man. It has a consciousness, and so you're aware of the different thoughts that come into your mind. You're aware of the different feelings you have. So our soul is our mind. It's our emotions. It's our reasoning. It's our imagination. It's also our conscience. And, a person's conscience can be defiled. When they're a little child and stuff, people might be growing up thinking the cops are evil, the cops are bad, so they have a conscience against cops. But actually, God, he's the one who put the cops in the situation and stuff. So our conscience has to begin to bear witness with the Holy Spirit and come in line. See, when we first become a young baby in Christ, some things we feel are wrong and stuff, and like eating meat or something. The Jews had a strict diet, so they couldn't eat certain foods, or some of these foods were offered to idols and something. So they were weak. Their conscience, they didn't realize that God called everything clean as far as food, and they could partake of it. So when your conscience is weak and stuff, you're very limited what you can do. But as our spirit grows and stuff in the Lord, and as we develop, the Lord begins to lead us and guide us. And he begins to cleanse our conscience from dead works to living works. Dead works are the things that we do in our life. It could be going to church. It could be giving money to church. All these things could be dead works. It could be coming in the pulpit and preaching. It could be a dead work. What is a dead work? It's something in and of ourselves. A living work is something that we allow the Holy Spirit to do through us. He lives through us. He speaks through us. He does these things through us. So an example of a dead work is, well, I got to get this church service ready. You're just straightening up the chairs and stuff. A living work is where you're excited. You're praying over the chairs. God bless everybody that comes in here. So what we can do can be living or it can be dead. I lost my train of thought when I looked at you. It's your fault. No, no. So we have a scroll. A destiny scroll. In other words, God has prepared a life for us. And once we come into contact, once our spirit is alive and quickened, God can begin to unveil to us what his destiny is in our life. And his destiny is, we can't even fathom the goodness of God and stuff, but we have to learn how to start walking with God in order to come into that destiny. So, when our spirit becomes alive unto God, it becomes God conscious. But our soul has to interpret what God is speaking through our spirit. So our spirit has different senses that we have to learn how to develop. One of the senses of our spirit is intuition. We have to learn how to develop this intuition. One of our spirits is called love, first love. It's a love relationship with God where we begin to feel his love for us. Another one of our spirit gates is faith. See, most people don't understand faith. Faith is a fruit of our spirit in union with God. It's not a human faith. We all have human faith. It's not trying to believe in your mind and this and that. Faith is a gift of God, just like repentance or everything else. It's a gift of God. So what faith is, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what happens is we begin to hear the voice of God. He speaks a personal word to us. We get a word from the Lord. I heard the audible voice of God saying it works, speaking about these 12 programs, the 12 steps of AA. And they're just principles of being powerless in and of yourself. You can't overcome this addiction and stuff. You need a higher power, someone greater than yourself. and so on and so forth with the steps. But what faith is, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So what you need to do is begin to hear God's voice. When God speaks to you personally, faith will be imparted to you. It's a gift of God. It's His faith. It's His faith. All of a sudden you hear God. It's like you have a face-to-face relationship. He speaks to you. He says, I got such and such for you or something. You hear His word, and all of a sudden faith will come. So it's a gift, but then we have to learn how it works, and faith works by love. So if we're focused on, well, do I believe, don't I? That's not how faith works. Faith works by love. So we develop intimacy with God. We just love God. We just worship Him. We worship Him. We worship Him. We develop this love relationship, and all of a sudden our faith is going to start growing and working. Okay, John. See, God has shown me some things from my life. And it's like what He shows me, wow, it's just absolutely unbelievable. But I didn't begin to see this stuff. As we begin to seek the Lord, He's going to show us what He's called us to. And it's different than whatever little plans we have and stuff. God's plans are much bigger and much greater for us. So He has a destiny scroll. So in a sense, our life has already been written. It's been foreordained. It's been predestined. All we have to do is begin to start walking. And a righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord. So God can't steer a car unless that car is in motion. So as we step out by faith, we begin trusting the Lord and walking. He's going to order our steps. He's going to correct us and stuff. The main thing is to start walking. Our walk, everything of God continually keeps expanding in our life. Now, it says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now that word is the word Spirit in the Greek. The Spirit blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. So this is describing the unseen world. See, our spirit is not seen. Our soul is not seen. We can't see our thoughts, our feelings. This is the unseen realm. And it says the wind blows where it wishes. In other words, God's the originator. All we can see is the effects of the wind blowing. And when God comes into a person's life, comes into their spirit, commands light to shine, you can see a change in their countenance. It's called first love, because all of a sudden, it's like you weren't sure if God was real, and all of a sudden now He's real. When my spirit got quickened, I went and told everybody. Did you know Jesus is real? I tell everybody about Him. 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. So when we're born again, it says we're born again of an incorruptible seed. Incorruptible. We're born, this seed is the sperm of God. It's the DNA of God. It's the living word of Jesus Christ. Jesus is called the Word. And so as we begin to hear the word of God, we're to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the Holy Spirit has to quicken the word. See, Jesus, when He died on the cross, He said, it's finished. He said, He's perfected forever those who are in the process of being sanctified. Sanctified means we're being set apart unto God. So by one offering, He perfected forever. So in the spirit realm, we're already perfect. But what we have to do is have that perfection applied to our life, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes what Jesus provided and he ministers it to us into our life. And as we begin to walk in the word that God quickens to us, so it becomes alive to us, it becomes a revelation and we walk in it, it becomes a new way of living. It becomes the way we respond. Like the Bible says, rejoice when you fall into different trials and circumstances. I found out that I have colon cancer. It's actually in the third stage. Now, I'm not rejoicing about having colon cancer, but I'm rejoicing because I know the Lord. And for me to die is gain. I no longer have a fear of death. To die is gain, but to live is Christ. So in other words, if I'm going to stay in the flesh, it's going to be for everybody else's benefit. So I can minister a living word to them. So God can use me as an oracle. So I can impart whatever God gave to me, I can impart to others so they can impart to somebody else. So we receive the living word of God. It's a seed. It's incorruptible seed inside of us, inside of our spirit. Our spirit is like a womb. And this seed is conceived in us, which is another form of Jesus in us, the living word. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So now this seed is incorruptible. This seed contains the DNA of God. Now Jesus was a manifest, full-grown Son of God. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also in greater works than this. Because he was just a model. See, Jesus he laid aside all his divine attributes, humbled himself to become a man, and everything he did by the Holy Spirit through him. He just was a yielded vessel of God, and God lived his life perfectly through Jesus Christ, and that's what we are to do. Now, that seed will grow. Just like in the natural, when we're born, we become a little baby and we grow up. We do the same thing in the spirit realm. We start out as a little baby. Then we grow up as a young child. Then we grow up as a young adult. It says when we become a teenager, we don't really become rebellious, because a teenager in the spirit, one that starts overcoming problem after problem after problem. And then when we grow into a full adult, we begin to disciple others and minister to others. We become spiritual mothers and fathers. And that's why it's very important to have shepherds, have a pastor over you, that's going to help you. Make sure you hear the word of God and are not tossed to and fro. Because when you're a little child, it says a little child is tossed to and fro. One wind of doctrine to the other. That's how it was in my life. I went from church. I've been everything. I've been started out as a non-denomination. I became a Baptist, and I became the Word of Faith, and I went to Seventh-day Adventist, and then I was a Mormon for a while. Then I was this, and I went to every kind of church. And for a while, I actually believed it, but see, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all the truth. He is the teacher. He's the one who leads us and shows us and guides us. So what we have to develop is that intimate relationship with him where he leads us into the truth. And if I say something to you and the Holy Spirit's confirming it, witnessing it, receive it. If I say something to you and it sounds a little off, just put it on the shelf. Stay open. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But it's the Holy Spirit's responsible. The Holy Spirit is responsible for our spirituality. Okay, all we got to do is be a yielded vessel. He'll teach us. He disciples us. He'll lead us into all the truth. So, now this seed is incorruptible. But how the seed grows depends on the condition of the soil. And here's where our part comes in. Here's where we have a responsibility. It says in the Old Testament, break up the hard heart and all this and that, right? So there are things in the soil. And so the soil is like our soul. Our soul covers our spirit. Our spirit is where the seed of God is in our spirit, but it's got to grow. And see, God wants to interpenetrate us. He wants to interpenetrate us and live through us. He wants to invade every area of our life. So the Bible says when you become a disciple, you have to take up your cross and follow him. It says if you hold on to your life, which is the word soul, you'll lose it. But if you lose your soul, you'll find it. So our soul is our life. It's what makes us human. It says the life of the blood is in the soul in the Hebrew. So our soul and body are directly related. So there's areas of our soul, different areas of self-will and stuff that can hinder the growth of the word. It says there's thorns that choke the word. There's desires for other things that compete with the word. We're no longer seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. It says if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he's going to add all these things to us. But if we seek first our own, if we try to get all these things, put everything before the Lord Jesus Christ, they become an idol in our life. See, God just wants to capture our heart. So, I don't have a lot of time here, so I'm going to close it. So, what hinders the growth of the seed of God in our lives are different things that go on in our heart. Our heart is basically our soul. Sometimes it talks about the hidden man of the heart is talking about our spirit, but most of the time it says our heart is our soul. So in our heart we have all these desires. We have thoughts. We have feelings. We have all these things in our soul that can hinder. They block the flow of God's spirit. See, the Christian life, when you come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, his government over you is a government of rest. See, in and of ourselves, we can't do God's will. We have to allow him to do it through us. So we have to set aside these different desires and just focus on the Lord and learn how to abide in him. The Bible talks when we join our spirit unto the Lord, and that word join is in the continuous sense. So this is something we have to learn how to practice the presence of God, to be conscious of him, a God consciousness. And that's basically what growing up in the spirit is coming into the mind of Christ. It says we already have the mind of Christ. Our problems is it says in the Bible, the thought of sin is foolishness. And sin, when you really look at the root of the word, it's hamartia. It means not, without, and the other word is lot or portion or inheritance. To be in sin means you're without inheritance. And that creates a hole for other things to enter in that you can become in bondage to, because the word sin is also personified as something as your master. So as God opens our eyes to the heavenly provision, the Holy Spirit will begin to minister it to us. So any area of our life that's not surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ, God has to grant us repentance. And repentance is a gift from God. It's metanoia. The word meta means with or in close association. Anoia means thoughts coming into your consciousness. So the word repentance means the thoughts of God are coming into your mind, which are producing light. It's the mind of Christ. You're seeing things differently, which causes you to live different and change direction. It's like, I'm heading down the wrong direction. So, a walk with God is a walk in the Spirit. It's a walk in the light of God. As he is in the light, we're to walk in that light. So, it starts out where we just can see dimly. But as we follow this path, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So, Father, I just ask you, bless everybody in here, Father. I ask that you bring anything I might have said that would help them to their remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to take over, Pastor?
I hope you guys realize you were just fed some real meat.